Normally they don't take too much of our time because they are very little that they are doing, but that little that they are doing is highly important and highly crucial in the country. And they don't have a lot of issues. Then from GPW, we do have Ms. Moyo, the acting CEO. Something needs to be done because she has been acting for quite a long time. And then Ms. Josephine Mayer, the General Manager for Finance. Alina Fossi, General Manager, Strategic Management. Mr. Michel Mudise, General Manager, also Human Resources. And then Joe Engelbrecht, General Manager for Operations and Production. Yeah, it's nice. The women are taking over. From the department, and then we have the minister is here, Professor Mkhize. Then we do have Leborang Mutiwa, is a researcher. We have got Patrick Williams, the chief of staff. Then we have got Nompumelelo Madala, the PLO, the minister. And then we have got Tulan Mavuso, the DDG on institutional planning. We have got Rian Musa, the deputy director of parliamentary and cabinet support. And then we have got Muzin Jogo, the PLO of the department. And then that completes, I think, the our delegations from the department as well as the minister's office and the government printing works. And then we are aware, honorable members, that honorable Figlen will arrive late, and that is the only apology that we have in front of us. Otherwise, all members are here. Those that are not here, we don't know their whereabouts, and we hope that they will join us as we move on. And yeah, I just wanted to indicate, honorable minister, that we are entertaining the government printing works. That we understand that they have already prepared the printer's bill, and it has been submitted to the department for consideration. And we hope that it would be expedited and its outcomes so that it can come a little bit earlier. But even though that we speak about expedition, is that due consideration still has to be done. And we would like to produce the best bill around, you know, to establish that entity to deal with the challenges that they have been communicating to us, and we hope that in no time, I think that will be made a little bit much more clear to yourself. And I hope that GPW, you are ready, you are connected, and honorable members, I think we have got their presentation. Even though that some of us may be having it in black and white, but we should be able to follow what they say. If whether you probably think that we may not be able to see properly, then you should be able to try and explain a little bit better so that we are able to identify. You know, where you may be having some writing in different colors, and when you put it on black and white, then it may be a little bit difficult to differentiate the numbers. And on that score, I think we should also welcome those that may be representing media, and then to have a session with us, and actually have this committee presenting some work for them to do as well. Thank you very much, and you may proceed with the presentation if you are ready.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, Minister. We will be taking to the committee on the 2017-2021 strat plan, as well as the APP and the budget. We're hoping when we come back to the portfolio committee, we're going to discuss in terms of our performance in the last financial year. This presentation largely focuses on some of the work we've done in the last financial year and what we plan to do in the current financial year. So that's the outline of the presentation. In terms of our vision, mission, and values, to be a state-mandated security center. Chair, I know this slide, you've seen it before, we have presented it before. If you allow me, I'll just go straight to the rest of the slide.
No, go through it.
Go through it, okay.
Go through it. So
that's our vision, is to make sure we are a trusted security printer of the state, to provide cost-effective, secure, reliable, and timeout printing services to all spheres of government, which we currently do. To provide the public with equitable information, which we do through the gazettes that we publish, which are used by the state and non-state, including the private sector. Dissemination of government information through technology, innovation, and service excellence. Our values that underline to the work we do is reliability, its integrity, accuracy, and stakeholder. The work that we do, there's very little room for having mistakes and not being reliable. We are at the heart of security of the state, therefore the work we do with Home Affairs is important that we are reliable, and the documents we produce don't have any questions when it comes to accuracy and integrity. These are the products that GPW produces. Smart ID cards, ID documents, and there we're referring to the Green Book, the passports, the various travel documents that we do, including official passport, diplomatic passport, and your ordinary civilian passport.
Sorry, Chair, is this presentation the same that we are having as members? The same one?
It is supposed to. Because she was still on the slide that she wanted to jump. Yes.
So, So we do examination material for both the Department of Basic Education as well as Higher Education, as well as government stationery and other faith-related documents. Our major customers in the Indian government are Home Affairs, Department of Transport, Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, Treasury, as well as other departments like health, either at provincial or district. So we picked up our biggest clients, and the documents that we produce for them are those on the right-hand side, which in addition to the smart ID cards, passports, and visas and permits, we have all those forms that are used for license, for court, for actors, as well as for certificates. This gives you the categorization of the staff we have. We currently have 563 field positions. The structure provides for 668. We have given percentage in terms of how it's spread through the organization. You will see that a large percentage is in the branch production and operations, which is the core of government printing work. That's where the actual production happens, with the support of obviously the branches that are there, strategy management, finance, and HR. Finance is also a bit high, second to production, because it includes warehouse management, it includes the regional offices that we have in the Eastern Cape, Northwest and Limpopo. We do have apprenticeships that are currently, that we are training, which is artisans that we are taking through the program to make sure we can build capacity in that area. We have 22, we have 7 internships, and we have graduates, which are people who graduated in the different fields that the organization is involved in and did not get any employment. They've been sitting at home. So we attracted those, placed them in the different branches to ensure that we can build that capacity and train them. And hopefully after their 2-year graduate program, we can absorb some of them into the institution. This slide speaks to our alignment with the work that is being done by Home Affairs to just reconfirm that in terms of the national government 14 outcomes, we, through the work that Home Affairs does as our main parent of department to create a better South Africa and create a better and safer Africa and world, an efficient, effective, development-oriented public service, and an empowered and fair, inclusive citizenship, a skilled and capable workforce to support inclusive growth path. These outcomes, we took them as national government has approved them and as Home Affairs has linked them to the work they do. The work we do contributes to building a capable state, and GPW's work is aligned to Home Affairs' mandate. In terms of the legislative mandate that governs GPW, the first what we are highlighting is a bit of background on the approvals granted in 2007 by Ministers of Finance, Home Affairs, and DPSA to have a government component. So that particular government gazette guides us. In terms of, we also still guided by PFMA, the Public Service Act. Obviously, that will change once we are a SOC because we'll be guided by the Companies Act. We account to the Minister as the executive authority of GPW. In terms of the management and governance structure, we have ESCO, which is made up of all the GMs that you see in this meeting today. And we also have management committee, which is made up of ESCO and all the directors that are managing all the business units. We have an external risk committee. We also have an internal one. Same with audit committee. We have an internal team that looks at audit issues that need to be implemented or followed up. We have an external one, which forms part of our governance framework. So this is the institutional journey that we have documented. It basically tells us where GPW comes from and where it's going. I'm sure you've seen this slide before, but it explains that GPW moved from being a unit within Home Affairs to a trading company, and in 2007-08, that's where it was translated into a government component. And our understanding is at that point, they agreed that it will go become a government component in transition to be an SOC, and that's why we're embarking on this process of SOC. Where we are now is we are preparing ourselves to be an SOC, a public entity, which is a 3B. These four pillars also, so you might have seen them through Home Affairs presentation. The colorful one, the national security and protection, mandatory services to citizens, enabling economic growth and planning, are the pillars that are on the Home Affairs repositioning exercise. And from our role, we wanted SGPW to make sure that as the department grows and improves itself and repositions itself within the security cluster of government, that GPW sees itself as a critical partner of ensuring that repositioning in the security cluster. So in terms of security, our responsibility is to make sure that the information that we deal with, which is largely from the National Population Register with regard to printing of IDs and passports, remains protected. That the manufacturing equipment that we use and the value chain and the processes are secure. And lastly, that the documents that we print are beyond question that we will do all that we can do to make sure that they are not easily defrauded or infiltrated in any manner. In terms of providing service delivery, we understand that Home Affairs has got this constitutional mandate to make sure everyone has an ID, has a passport, can travel, and our job is to make sure that those documents are produced. In terms of enabling economic growth and maximizing from the services that the department provides, we think as DPW in terms of job creation that we can do more work in looking at the industry itself and how as DPW we can create more jobs. And you heard me in the last slide speaking about graduates, about artisans, and about internships that we can. We have been working with Printing SA, who trained all the artisans and qualified them to make sure that we can partner with them as well as the CITA to build capacity in this industry. Particularly not in all areas, particularly within artisans and specialized skills. And the last point there is around research and development. In terms of printing or security printing technology, we think it's an area we can develop further to make sure that we have a research unit that keeps up with what is happening internationally in terms of security printing, and that we continually have new information, new technology, new things that are taking place internationally. We can apply that, that we are not left behind in this digital revolution that is taking place. Okay, this slide basically just explains client experience in terms of our interface with Home Affairs. At the top layer of citizen goes to front office, do the application. It gets through to Home Affairs through live capture in areas where there is live capture. It comes through to GPW, and at the moment we then Skynet, which is the Korean company, will pick it up through to Home Affairs, right through to the client. So in that process, it's our responsibility with Home Affairs to make sure that the citizen's identity remains secure throughout that process, from the time they give in the information throughout collection. We have started working with, responding to Home Affairs requests that the value chain is tightened to increase security, that Skynet's involvement should not come in at the point where they have humanitation with the document. That's why the development of Pavilion 3, to make sure that dispatch is automated to deal with that fourth leg. But when we present later about what that Pavilion 3 will do, we'll give more details. These are the three strategic outcomes, three goals that were approved by yourselves in the last financial year in the strategic plan, and we still continue to implement that particular strategic plan. The first one was to further develop the government component to become a state-owned company. The second one was to optimize processes and facilities, and the third was to have a developed workforce. So the following slides I'll be sharing with you what we have done thus far with one of those, all three of those goals. In terms of goal one of becoming a state-owned company, the first point that reiterates that we are a self-funded company. We don't get any injections from National Treasury, from revenue that we get through the services we provide to the different clients. We use that back into being able to fund the operations of the company. It's been the same, I think, for the last 4 years. This is the first year that GPW self-funds itself. In terms of the state-owned company, there was a bill chair called, initially named Security Printers Bill, which was aimed to do two things. One was to do the conversion into a state-owned company. The second objective was to regulate the security printing for the state or for government as it were. And we've been running with, or the company's been running with the Security Printers Bill until I think late last year when the executive authority indicated that because of the amount of time that consultation, particularly on regulation of security printing, at the moment departments do their own printing independently. When you start regulating and ring-fencing what you will be security printing, the consultation process will probably be longer, which will delay what commitment has been made in terms of getting the bill. So what happened is the bill was then split into two. It was called the GPW SOC bill, which is the state-owned company on its own, and the second part was the security printers bill, which is currently being drafted by the legal team in the department. So that is also still running parallel. So we're now talking two documents instead of one document, which are linked to each other. In terms of how far we are with those processes, is that in January, in 2016, the business case was approved by the executive authority with the assistance of KPMG as our provider, to that GPW should be able to stand on its feet with no problem should it convert into an SOC. Then in January, the draft bill, which the drafting is being done by the Department of Home Affairs legal team, so they work very closely with us on that. The drafting was signed off by the executive authority in January this year. The social economic impact assessment was done and approved by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, and we got the certification that the bill itself should not have any implications negatively in terms of socioeconomic. Then we went to the JCPS Development Committee. This is a technical committee that processes all documents that go through to cabinet via the JCPS cluster. We've been to them in Feb, we've been to them in March and April, and members, you might ask why so many times. They were, in some cases, they've given us feedback to go do more work in terms of the rationale for the conversion, but they were very clear, loud voices that basically said you don't need this SOC from there. So there were those questions that at the moment you seem to be able to run your finances. What guarantee do you give that you'll be able to do the same in the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? So we are taking their recommendations. We are continuing to work on them and improve, get more information where we think we can strengthen the case to make sure that this bill can pass. We also have made a presentation to the National Intelligence Coordinating Council. Because of the role of Home Affairs within the security cluster and the repositioning and the role that GPW needs to play to support Home Affairs, it was felt it's important to bring in that cluster so that they understand what we're trying to achieve, which has given us a go-ahead also with regard to this process. We then went to the JCPS DG cluster on the 2nd of May. They raised also some of the issues that were raised by Development Committee, which we are attending to. We have received a preliminary an opinion from state law advisors on the bill itself, and we are processing some of the recommendations they've given us. So what is left in order to get this bill to Parliament as per the commitment in the last APP was to ensure that we get ready to present to the JCPS cabinet cluster and cabinet at the end of this month. Then that will be for gazetting for public comment and use June, July to receive public comment after the gazetting. And once that's done, get the retable to cabinet hopefully around end of June, beginning August, and we should be able to August, if all goes well, table this bill to Parliament. So in essence, that's the plan for the SOC part. In terms of the security printers bill, I must mention that as soon as Home Affairs gives us that draft, we will then follow the similar process with the security printers bill with regard to the regulation of the printing industry. There is a fear from some departments that if you regulate it, won't you be a monopoly? And those are some of the things we need to thresh out, that if we, all government security documents are printed by GPW only, what do we do to the market, those who've been printing it? Can we, are we able to make sure we partner with the market that GPW does not take all printing of the state, because we will not be able to, but we take that which we think is security printing and continue with some of the government stationery that we are already doing. In terms of our audit profile, that we had an unqualified in the 2013 year, in audit unqualified. Currently, audit is in progress and we are not expecting any issues from the agency. this is the profile on our financial sustainability. In terms of revenue, in the last financial year was 1.1 billion. Cost of sales, 6, and gross profit was 505. I won't go into the details, but basically this is showing a healthy financial profile of GPW. And even before we add new products, we should be able to sustain ourselves with the current products that we have. There are obviously more government clients, departments from provinces, from who are already approaching us to do more products, which will definitely reconfirm our financial standing. Revenue also in 2015-16 was 12%, so we've seen this consistent revenue growth that we think will continue throughout the year. On the second goal of optimizing processes and facilities, the one thing that we have done was, or we are currently doing, was the Pavilion 3 construction. This is the construction you see in Fisagi Street, where the new building, which will accommodate the, what we call state-of-the-art digital printing room, and give us capacity. Members, you remember that GPW has got 2 factories right now. There's a factory in Corner Bosman and Proust, which does exams, and there's a factory at Fisagi and Sophie Gibrain, which does IDs and passports and visas. So the aim is to make sure that the work that we do with the exams can come in and have one present, one GPW present where all this printing happens. In terms of the examination, instead of being produced at Bosman, when this building ends in August and November, we should be able to now decommission all those equipment and transfer them into Fisagi, so we'll have one, what was called the master plan that we spoke about is to before. So document rotation is happening manually in some areas. That will be automated, so there'll be a new production line, because the question always comes that once there's human interaction to a large amount, what are the risks? And this is meant to manage that. The second part was renovation of GPW head office. Members will remember that GPW acquired what is called APSA building, which is across the building of the Fisagi Street factory. We are currently renovating it to make it the head office, which means all the staff that are at Bosman and the staff that are at Fisagi will all be in one place, because at the moment we shuttle between the two factories. That work is expected to be completed at the end of this financial year. This is how the master plan will eventually look like. I'm sure you've seen this. So Pavilion 3 that is being developed is the building on the extreme left corner. From that part, the aim is to make sure that we go in phases till 2020. There was a development of Pavilion 1, which was done 2-3 years ago. Then it was Pavilion 2. Now we are completing Pavilion 3. The master plan makes provision for Pavilion for also to be developed to make sure that GPW can be that with across the road the administrative building, so you wouldn't have people who have nothing to do with production being part of that building. The third thing in terms of optimizing processes and facilities is acquisition of printing equipment. We had said that we will acquire or do the asset recapitalization program to make sure that printing equipment that is at the end of its life, we buy new equipment that we continue to increase our ability to provide high level secure documents. So at present, GPW has a single website printing press with capacity to produce printed material with high value security features such as rainbow images, microtext. The press is utilized for production of security documents as outlined in our products. We are planning to acquire more pieces of equipment to ensure that we have redundancy. We have if one gets tired or there's a problem, that we don't impact on Home Affairs' mandate to make sure that they produce the document that they promised to produce. E-Gazette is still running, was launched in 2012. It's working very well. And our clients now know that you can still ask for a manual gazette, but we do have a e-quoting model that is currently being implemented. There has been a few issues, and it had come out also from client queries that because this is electronic, there are client ID documents that appear on the online, and Our response was whether if you want to change a name or change the same name or change your ID number, Home Affairs has a responsibility to make sure that it's applied according to the law, that people can see that Tandi Moyo now wants to be Moyo Tandi and wants a new ID. So for the banks and private sector and whatever, it has to be gazetted. So the e-gazette is not the reason why it goes public. The law says you have to publish if somebody's changing their identity. So we are working with Home Affairs to look at when clients apply for change of name, change of identity, change of anything, that they are well informed in advance that this will mean that your application will be gazetted. If anyone is looking for you, for whatever reason, are able to know that you have a new status now, or you are a new person. ERP is a system that was an IT-driven system that was launched in 2012. We continue to work with it, we continue to improve it. It's a system that assists us to manage from interaction between clients, from query right through to quotation right through to us providing the service that they requested. But also it links to manufacturing and production as well as the financial system, and it's currently working well. The last goal that speaks to develop the workforce, to say that we, in the last financial year, we had 205 posts filled, 6 of those were SMS. In the coming financial year, in our APP, our plan is to make sure that the priority posts that have not been filled in the last financial year are filled, and we are expecting to have 7 SMS posts that were vacant and vacant funded but not filled. That's the split in terms of the different branches. And our plan is to make sure that 668, which is on our structure, is fully capacitated. In terms of training and development, and we know that members raised this issue in the last time we appeared here on what work are we doing to ensure there's training and development of staff. is that the our senior management, management management continues with the leadership development program that we do through the University of Pretoria, and some of them do it through UNITA. We have done a lot of work to make sure that the training is linked to performance agreement and performance development plan, that we don't have a lot of people attending courses that are not linked to performance. We have the 7 intensives which are largely placed in the support functions, branches, admin related. Then we have the graduate program which is spread through the organization. That basically is young people who graduated and had no jobs that we brought in and provide them that opportunity. Apprenticeship program is largely for production and operation, which I've indicated before to build that capacity. It takes 3 years to qualify to be an activist. So there are those that have gone through till last year. They are doing their final trade test. So we should have 22, if all of them pass their test, qualified activists. We are planning to have 18 in the next financial year, and starting this year to 2019. And this program, what is different is that GPW is not doing it alone. We are doing it in partnership with the CITA, which is responsible for printing under the Department of Higher Education and Training. We're also working with the Printing Federation of South Africa, who the body that of association of all printers, particularly the private sector in the country. In terms of employee relations and organized labor, we have two unions, Nahawu and PSA, and that's the membership percentage. PSA is 81.82%, and Nahawu is sitting at 18%. The issues that occupies our divisional bargaining council, which meets every quarter, are obviously state-owned company conversion, issues of salary discrepancies, which the SOC process was also meant to deal with those issues around salary discrepancies. So those A and B directly linked to each other. The implementation of resolutions on recognition of improved qualifications. There was a directive from DPSA that says that those people who improve their qualifications while they are on the job, there must be some kind of recognition, whether monetary or otherwise. So those have been their concerns, but this issue is now off the table because we worked out with them the process on who qualifies according to DPSA. If I'm a clerk and I go and study engineering and I come with a master's in engineering, should I be paid anything by the state for going to do that degree? But we are now on the same page with them. And then the last thing was issue of job evaluation, where they were saying that some of the jobs have been there for so long, when are we evaluating? We have linked that to the SOC process, but if you are converted in SOC, you will have a new structure, so all the jobs will have to be reviewed and re-evaluated. So instead of doing piecemeal now, while we are going to SOC, link the different processes. Okay, in terms of our MCEF budget, the first point to reiterate what was indicated before, that we don't get funding from fiscal. Formatize is our biggest customer, and revenue targets of GPW are directly linked to Home Affairs. So partly one should say the survival of Home Affairs, of GPW is dependent on Home Affairs remaining our client. The projections there below on revenue drivers, passports, IDs, and A4 bond paper. For the 17-18 financial year, our projection is 1.4 billion. The following financial year, 1.7 billion. were 2.2 in the 1920 financial year. In terms of call centers, that gives you a spread across the different branches. You have Office of the CEO looks high, but largely it's because of ICT and ICT infrastructure and systems. Strategic management members, you remember that in previous briefings, there was no branch called strategic management that we reported under. Mainly it's because the branch was there, was funded, but was never filled. So there was no GM. We have a GM now, Alina Fossey. There was one or two staff. We have now capacitated the branch to deal. And that branch is responsible for legal, for security management, for contract management, for publications of the Gazette, and all marketing and communication related. So we have now capacitated that branch, and we are in the process of filling to make sure we play that role. This is the one that would need to go out and get more clients. Go back to departments and say to PWs, yeah, this is what we provide, we can, and get more products in. They're also the same unit that will also be looking at the Africa strategy of attracting security printing of neighboring countries. Finance, and then we have our core function, operations and production in that amount. That's the slide I've just explained now what the different sections do. Okay, in terms of ACT for 17-18, this slide is basically to reconfirm that GPW in this financial year will continue to manage the conversion and until its final processing and approval by Cabinet and City Parliament. Will continue to implement the MTF strategic plan as approved by Parliament and APP commitments. The implementation of the asset recapitalization will continue to do that and optimization of facilities to ensure that there's return investment in the work that we do, that there's sound financial management and sustainability of the company. We will begin work on looking at the future of GPW beyond 2020, maybe look at 20 billion, but the aim is to make sure that GPW can maximize its capacity currently. I need to mention that in our research, we picked up that in the entire continent, there is no country that has got an establishment like GPW. All the different countries get their security printing of IDs and passports from France, from UK, from Malaysia, and from Germany. So we think we can reposition ourselves to ensure that we link ourselves with the SADC and AU to do trade. So we aim to pursue that they use us where possible to do. We are already talking to Swaziland. We are at the point of all the discussion has happened. We have prepared a quotation for them in terms of instead of them getting their passports from the UK, that it will make economic of scale here if they come here. The cost of Korea will be cheaper. The interest rates will be cheaper. So when Swaziland falls through, we want to see that as a pilot that we can use to speak to other countries, even though discussion is starting now in terms of who is possible to use GPW. Branch operations, in terms of what we plan for this financial year 2017-18, the procurement of these printing machines, we are not going to do any big acquisition in this financial year. We are moving into 1920 until the building of Pavilion 3 is complete and the entire master plan is in place. Because if you buy big equipment now, we don't have the space, so the construction must complete. So hence we said that particular target of recapitalization would not feature very strongly in the current financial year, but in the next one, because we're finalizing the closing. The ID, travel documents, exam papers, we plan to make sure that 100% is delivered, conforms to client specifications. And in terms of ID and travel, it's Home Affairs. In terms of examination papers, it's Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as the Department of Basic Education. In terms of producing security printed material according to customer clients, we're saying 100% of all the gazettes, whether e-gazette or manual gazette that is placed with us, should make sure that it is produced within the timeline, because failure to do so will have huge consequences for some of the gazettes are through lawyers who are dealing with property issues, estates and all that. And then in terms of construction of Pavilion 3, we still planning to have it complete at the end of this calendar year. And then what will happen is the decommissioning of equipment from Bosman being transferred and put together at Pavilion 3 head office, as well as the last one will be the remaining construction of the Jaffa Street. So the balance of the master plan, we're hoping to have done 10% by the end of 2017-18. In terms of those are quarterly targets, so when it comes to those security documents, we commit to do 100% of what the client has requested within the timelines for which they have requested. The branch strategic management and office of the CEO. The first one relates to having secure and protected ICT, and percentage of security vulnerabilities detected by security assessment, and this is security of our own ICT infrastructure to make sure that there's no infiltration. And our target is 99%, which is the same as the last ACP. Availability of ICT, introduce new and redesigned ICT offerings. We are saying as the organization grows in terms of technology and security printing, IT then comes in to ensure that they look at what are additional things that we need to do to ensure that we remain secure. Number of new security products developed, this is linked to marketing. So the target there is to make sure we get 3 more new products. In the previous financial year, we've had requests from SAP in terms of their guidelines license. So we are currently finalizing that GPW will be producing the gun licenses. The SLA is almost at the point of signature, so that's probably one of those. We are looking at finalizing Swaziland in this financial year and one more other product that we can bring in. So that's a marketing and sales target. Conversion of the state-owned company, the publication of the bill, the finalization of the MOI and the shareholder compact in the current financial year. In terms of the, again under this branch, to protect and secure assets, this first one is linked to physical security units to implement 100% of security risk management programs according to plan. There is an interface between the security that is required in the production, in the factory, and the entire a building of GPW, since we are a national key point. There are specific requirements that we have to meet. The second one is the 90% of the annual internal audit plan implemented. The audit plan is approved by the audit committee, so the target is to make sure we implement at least 90% of that. Implement control risk. Also, our risk plan and issues that we have raised, we have identified that could possibly be risk approved by the external risk committee, 100% of that to be achieved. the quarterly targets. A number of them, or majority of them, are annual targets, with the exception of the IT. And we are planning that at the end of those financial year, we would have been able to achieve those targets. 99% availability of ICT in every quarter, that one runs through. The percentage of ICT services, 80% by end of financial year. Number of new security products developed, it's 3 in total. Quarter 3 will have 1 in the fourth quarter 2. And I've explained about the state-owned company that at end of financial year we should have brought the bill to Parliament. Security risk, those are the quarters for protect and secure access to people information of GPW. First quarter, implement the security risk management program in accordance with the approved plan. The second quarter, implement 40%, third quarter 40%. By end of financial year, we should have done 100% of the approved plan. Internal audit is an annual one. And the risk also is an annual one. It's also guided by the program of the risk committee and the plan they have. They indicate every quarter what they want. So we are implementing under the guidance of the risk committee. In terms of finance, providing quality financial and supply chain management services in compliance with legislation and stakeholder needs contribute towards financial sustainability of the company. One is to maintain unqualified audit opinion for 2016-17. Members will remember that in the 16-17 financial year, we got an unqualified with methods, methods which were relating to supply chain management. And we have done quite a lot to put in place control systems to make sure that the issues that were raised by the Auditor General in the last financial year are being attended to and do not recur in the current and next and following financial years. 18% of operating costs as a percentage of revenue. In terms of gross profit margin, 28% gross profit margin. Data collection period, 80 days data collection period. We are doing quite well in this area. There are a number of people that we are following up, but we have systems with the CFO, Ms. Josephine Mayer here, putting in place systems and controls to make sure that we comply. Maintaining a positive working capital ratio, 5 positive working capital ratio is our target. In terms of inventory turnover ratio, we're looking at 3 throughout the MTF. In terms of number of SLAs concluded with external customers and suppliers, 10 is still the target for external companies and suppliers. I must indicate that this is an annual target. However, the SLAs are signed because majority of them are linked to as we procure and we go through your tendering process. Once they have been appointed, immediately the SLAs are signed. So the SLAs targets are directly linked to our annual procurement plan. Then return on capital investment, we're looking at 19% in the current financial year, and it's going down in the subsequent. This is the quarterly target for finance. Maintaining quarter 2, and this is linked to the AG process and the production of annual reports and AFS. Right, by the second quarter, we should by then have a final audit report from AG. And we divided those annual targets, 18% operating costs, into those quarters over the 4 quarters. The same thing with the gross profit margin. We've taken it of what we will achieve per quarter. debt collection, and similarly with the positive working capital ratio being maintained. Actually, I think I've spoken to why we have all of them in the last quarter, but the actual implementation happens as we roll out our procurement plan. In terms of HR, I would have a revised implemented human resource staffing plan. We plan to implement 100% of it. The filling of posts in accordance with identified posts, that we would have at least 85% of the posts that we have highlighted in areas like field. In terms of developing training and development programs, that there would be 3 training and development programs for employees. And members will remember that we were giving feedback in the last financial year. This particular target was saying having 3 training opportunities, which meant it could be 1 training for 3 days. So we have reworked this one to make sure that we give opportunity to employees to have 3 opportunities for training and development linked to performance. In terms of our quarterly target, in implementing the staffing resource plan, that's the split, 25% in quarter 1, 50, 75, and ultimately in the last quarter, 100%. Filling posts, annual target 85 was spread through 20% first quarter, 50, 70, and 85. And that will be the split with regard to the others, with training opportunities, we start in second quarter. And in conclusion, Chair, just to say that GPW's management sitting in front of you commits to continue to provide the services to government and its agencies as per the mandate, that revenue that is generated will be invested through professionalization, will be invested into professionalization of the company, in particular to issues of technology and digitization of the work that we do. The approval of SSB bill and convention remains central in what we are meant to achieve. Security of documentation and facility remains a priority, and we will continue to ensure that we prioritize capacitation and skilling of the personnel. Thank you, Chair. My team is going to assist me to deal with the questions that will emanate from this. Thank you very much.
Is it possible to go back just 2 slides on human resources? Just go back to 2 slides. Yeah, just there. The very first one. No.
Page 2.
Yeah, this one. Yes.
Thank you.
I think it's just a... the third slide from the end, from the thank you, then the conclusion, and a slide just before the conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is the slide before the slide that talks to conclusion?
Yeah.
Page 26.
Yes.
I'm on the right one. On human resources. I do understand what it is happening, but when it is like this, I'm not sure that anybody that picked this page will actually make the correct interpretation. When you say the first quarter, then you do 25. And then the second quarter, then you'll be doing another 25.
Yeah?
Is it? Yeah, I see that it is cumulative.
Mm.
I do see that.
Mm.
But when you say you implement 50% on the second on the second quarter, is 50% of your target, which is half. Then you go to the third quarter, you say 75% of your target.
Mm-hmm.
Then you may end up with something, not 100%, with something very huge.
Okay.
Mm. If somebody picks the document, it gives a totally different interpretation. But I can see that you are actually showing cumulative numbers, but you are not saying that.
Okay.
You're not saying that, and you may need to make sure that everybody that picks the document then interprets it exactly the same. I think that's what I just wanted to say. It's also to try and just to check whether the AG did have a look at these targets and whether he has agreed that they are measurable, they are achievable, and blah, 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 the smart thing.
Mm.
Because surely a target that is annual, it's very problematic because it may not be done from January until to the 15th of December. Then we try and cram it to conclude it on the last week. And then what you are supposed to benefit from its conclusion, then you have not benefited for the whole year. Because the aim of doing anything is just simply to increase the capacity to actually benefit from conclusion of that particular target. So if it is annual and then it is shifted right at the end to the last quarter, then it doesn't really assist you. You're just completing it for the sake of complying with your targets, but not to improve the systems of the institution. I did pick up that you did not speak on the Skynet. Where does Skynet account to Home Affairs or to GPW? You did not say anything, and then it was just sitting on the outside on your value chain, and the reporting and the accountability of it, because it's the one that moves the document from point A to point B. So the risk is high there. Then it is important for us to know where it reports to. I think the other issues I'll raise after honourable members have done so. Honourable members, you have heard, and I'm not sure whether the minister has heard anything that will want to add, amplify, in terms of either the governance and You may proceed, minister.
Okay, thank you very much. Morning, honourable members. I just wanted to talk to one aspect. We have met with the leadership of this emerging entity. Of course, it's clear, as you said in the beginning, that we have to quickly take their work through cabinet processes now, so that the bill comes back timely. I must say they've done a lot of work, as you heard from the acting CEO, in terms of consultation, which I think will help. In a CAB memo, cabinet always look carefully at whether you have attained adequate consensus. On my side, when they presented, there was just one aspect which remained a little bit tricky in my mind, but of course this is where we are, this is what has been approved so far. The strategy to separate the bill, to say let's move quickly with the SOE bill and the security one will follow later. You know, normally once something comes through cabinet, people look at the code. I don't think members will easily decouple the two. They are closely related. It's basically about enhancing the security of documents, right? Not an SOE for its own sake. But we'll see how the CAB memo is articulated and shaped. We'll assist as much as we can through the processes. That was one aspect. The second aspect I wanted to put forward, honourable members, is that indeed, should we succeed in establishing a credible entity, they have huge opportunities. I shared with the CEO that I was amazed to learn that even countries like Lesotho, their passport was printed in the their overseas. So I fully agree that their success will, to a large extent, depend also on how we capture the needs within SADC and so on. That's just basically what I wanted to talk to. With regard to the acting position at Chairperson, I think once the clarity about the, I don't know whether it's called the organogram, the entity, the animal they are building, becomes easier quickly to look at capabilities that are required for the entity to succeed. I think Cabinet will speak to that when they finalize the Cabinet. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and for those clarity issues, I think they do assist us as well moving forward. Honorable members, Mamnisi wanted to speak, and then Professor Mkalibi. I'm sure our brand new minister will assist you to know the exact setting. Dambuza, and then Raputi, and then Dati Hussein, Mekenye, and then it's Gumede. Even if you have just arrived, Figland, I think maybe you will have an opportunity.
Second round.
Okay, and then KK, and then Mango.
Second round.
You are too close to me. I can't see.
Second
you.
Round. It's the second round.
let's start with Mamni.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. We are really happy and appreciate to see the leadership of our mama in Djibouti. Chairperson, I just want to check from the GPW what really hinders them to get a clean audit as it did on 24/15 instead of unqualified report. What are the stumbling blocks, or what are the obstacles that block them to get a complete clean report? Chairperson, it seems as if GPW has only one targeted platform that is used to raise the audience awareness marketing, that is giving its potential for work on the African continent as a whole. Why is it like that? What prevents you from checking other platforms and avenues, as if you have already made mention of the fact that GPW is the only one of its kind in SADC and African Union. Chair, with the phasing in of smart ID card production, just to check from GPW, what will happen with the printing machinery used for IT books when it is no longer in use and needed by the GPW? And also to check whether the additional budget has been set aside to pay market-related salaries to staff once the GPW becomes a state-owned company. I will pause there because I can see we've got a full capacity of members today.
No, thank you for really taking that note and be brief so that everybody can have a bite. Honorable Khaube.
Thank you, Chair. I have a lot of questions, but I will not able to ask all of them because of the reason that my colleague has alluded to the fact that there's a lot of people want to speak. But in future, Chair, I just request that the presentation must be not that long, because we end up as members want to engage in all pages. And if the presentation is too long, you end up being getting bored as members. And you know us as politicians, we just lose interest quickly. And it has been a case before with other departments. But they just want to prepare a long presentation, then you end up not zooming in on important issues. As the chair, please, we must make sure that we are not going to get long presentation because we want to check things. Not thanks for the presentation, Acting CEO. One is that the chair was saying I'm Kalipi. I was confused when you explained this e-gazette. Can you just please explain it, because my understanding for the GPW is just that you're just pending. So now when you were explaining your role, I was like a little bit confused. So I think it's very important for this committee as well, just to understand your role in terms of the e-gazette system. I can get a clarity, Chair, in terms of you are operating with 563 staffing at the moment. And when you go to page 24, I think, whereby you, when you talk about the IDs and all those sort of things that you are printing, and it talks about huge production. And I just want to get a clarity, how do you manage with 563 human beings, and you are still saying that you have just engaged the police service in order to go to get more jobs. So now I just want to get the balance between the two, because to me it seems as if there's a lot of work that the GPW is doing, but with a number of stuff like this, it's there's a gap in between. Also, just to check, once you become a state-owned, because you said to your presentation, you are self-funded, which means you get your money through clients. Like we are doing private job for now. You are not getting anything from the treasurer. Okay, my question now, if you move from being a state a self-funded to a state-owned, how is going to benefit the company as a whole? Chair, I must make it very clear that I support the movement from self-funded to be a state-owned company. But I just want to get a clarity for the benefit of the people now. How are we going to benefit now as a state-owned company? What benefits does it come with now? Because I saw in some of your presentation, it already said, now as we are moving as Home Affairs from the ID Green Book to ID, to what?
Smart card.
So you are saying in one of your presentation, one of your pages there, there's no human being now. It means that those people who have been working to package the ID Green Book now, they are not needed, of which Tina is the activist. We don't want that. We would like to see more jobs created. And also just to link to the fact that now you are saying Lesotho, you are engaging Swaziland, you are moving to SADC. I'm not sure now you want to move now to other countries in terms of capacity that you're having, or you are saying you are going to wait until you become the state-owned company. And so my worry there is not even a worry, it's just to check your capacity now. Are we going to be able to chew what we are biting as the GW? Chair, I will come back, please. Just forgive me, there's a lot of things that I need to carry to, but I think it is fair just to leave it now. Thank you.
There may be honourable members that will cover you on some of the questions that are outstanding. If not, let's hope that we'll have a second bite. The Honourable Dambuya.
Thank you very much, Professor. I also concur with other members to see the presentation as well. Welcome. Chairperson, my question is on slide 47, on the issue of food. the acting CEO has mentioned that they are going to make sure that this 105, outstanding 105, is being those posts are being filled by this community. My concern is that how determined are they that they will achieve because of the recruitment processes? For instance, the other departments have got a lot of challenges in terms of recruitment. So how sure that they are going to make it? And then the other question is on the issue of this target of the SAE to with the other external stakeholders, the countries, SADC and so on. I'm not convinced, Chairperson, when the acting CEO is saying they are not going to have a quarterly target on this one. Because for me, there should be something that is done, maybe on the first quarter or second quarter, they should have put a target. What are they going to do? What are they planning to do on that? They cannot just rely on the end of their plan. And also in terms of the procurement processes. I don't think it's fair to say that will depend on the procurement, I mean the procurement processes, they plan them for on an annual basis. But I think there should be stages. What are you expecting to be done on your first quarter and then on your second quarter and then with the rest of the financial year? So I think it will be most important that there could be something that is done. They cannot just sit down and put out, and then they do the processes, but they don't report on those processes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, and Honorable Raputi.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Government treating with the CEO. I'm very skeptical if there is going to be the loss of employment when introducing this automation. You know, I'm skeptical. You know, we are National Development Plan speaks about creating of jobs. And you know, we can see there is a lot of unrest and all those things related to job losses. What is our strategy or our intervention in that regard? And I think I'm going to come with another kind of a question. Government printing works, if it's going to be converted to a state-owned company, I'm positive, and you know I'm optimistic with the competency that you have shown us. 2014, 2015, 2016, you've been doing exceedingly exceptionally well. But it was during the reign of Prof. Mbeki. So are we going to have that competency if ever we make it a state-owned company, if ever we don't have that competency of SMB? Because I believe that the state-owned company is based on proper governance. when we are having those systems in place, you know, in order that we can be able to execute our mandate properly. Really, Minister, I really, you know, welcome the state owned company because it's doing exceedingly and exceptionally well. On the issue of, I'm really proud of government printing works, especially with the security documents that they are producing. And we are only 23 years in freedom, and other counterparts, our subject brothers and sisters, I think they're still captured. And we should really applaud ourselves as South Africans. And I'm of the view that a proudly South African government printing work and another department, they must keep on going to market this product. And even to liberate, I don't think those countries are liberated. Well, there are security documents are still being done outside their countries. Keep on knocking. And I think the state-owned company, it will be able to assist our counter sisters and brothers. I thank you.
Honorable Hussein, you have a chance to have a bite.
Chair, thank you very much, and thank you to the government printing works. You've got a perfect name. The government printing is working, so. I want to pick up on the point the last colleague made, and that is this issue about the state-owned company. And I think, Chair, you and I will agree on one thing, that in politics we say we mustn't try to fix what's not broken. This is one of those departments that one of the model departments for years has been performing, it's making money. I mean, there's very little that you can actually criticize the department about. And I remember very clearly that the Prof came here on a previous occasion when he first mooted this idea about the state-owned company, and his core argument was that the salaries are not market-related, and for that reason we are losing staff through to the private sector. Now, you know, and I think about it, we're a massive government. We've got people who are highly qualified in the employ of the state, highly qualified surgeons, engineers, doctors, lawyers. I don't mean to withdraw the lawyers, they keep losing cases, they're not so...
We did not hear you.
Sorry, I had to throw that one in.
We did not hear you. Continue.
I'm convinced that there must be, I'm not an expert on labour matters, but I'm convinced that if we can employ those qualified people at those levels, at supposed market-related salaries to keep them in the employment of the state, there must be a solution for us to be able to do it in GPW. I'm not convinced that that's the only reason why. And I really like to hear the department's response to make a case why it's so important for us to do this, to move from what we're doing at the moment to a state-owned company. So I'm not convinced that one argument is good enough. You see, Chair, what confuses me even further about this is that in one of these slides, you say here that consistent revenue growth is predicted, and I agree with you there. But then on your medium-term targets, it goes the other way. It goes from 28% gross profit to 25%, so the sliding scale is down. So either you're setting lower targets or something's not right there. And if you're making a case that actually government printing works is going to get better, we're going to make much more money, if we're going to move to the state-owned company, then surely that your longer-term targets would be much higher than what you're predicting here. So I'm afraid you're not backing up your own argument about why you think that the state-owned company is going to be a good idea. Chair, I want to ask this question, which is related to the your biggest client, which is Home Affairs, and there's going to come a time when Home Affairs is no longer your biggest client when it comes to smart IDs, and I'm sure that you're going to continuously receive work from them, but not at the same levels once, you know, after a few years you've reached almost every South African, and then all you're doing is replacing lost cards and so on. So the number of IDs that you're going to print in about 3, 4, 5 years from now, it's actually going to be on the decline. And I'd just like to hear what the plans for the department is to try and arrest that decline, to maintain the profit margins that you that you're likely to reduce in the years to come, if you remain as you are. Yeah, I go back to the previous point, and I just want to ask this question. It's related to the market-related salaries. The cost of salaries at the moment in the department in the current year is what, 269 million? And I'm not sure if the question I'm asking is a fair one, and if we can make a projection. But assuming for a moment we move to the state-owned company, and if the argument is that we want to be able to address the salaries, bring it into market-related salaries, what do you suspect, in a, even if it's an estimate, that 269 million will move to? Will it be almost double, or what do you think it would be? And the very last question, Chair, I generally find it quite interesting when people say something is 99%, and then that 1% starts irritating me. But what is it about that 1%? So I think you know already what I'm referring to. It relates to the security vulnerability story. I think you're going to give me a very clever IT-related answer there, but anyway, I'll ask the question. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable members, I thought that the issue of moving to a state-owned entity, we agreed long ago. That's why GPW, then it is moving with the Department of Home Affairs towards that. And it is very interesting that today then we are still questioning it. And also, of course, the question of why that happened. They did then explain that I think it was the DPSA was involved, and then you know, they have requested to appoint this highly technical, special technical person, and then the answer has been no. You must stick to the government law, public service, whatever. Then they must stick to that, and because of that, then they have almost served like a training institute. Private printing companies then are actually taking all these people from GPW to the private companies, and now they wanted to stop that rot. And but then within the current situation, I think it was explained fully. I thought that we agreed, and but also, of course, is that. Or let me not say it, but let's just say it a little bit, that I'm hearing quite differing ideological positions on it, contradictory ideological positions. But we'll discuss it when we move forward. I think it's Honorable Kane.
Yeah,
thank you for the presentation. But most of my questions have been asked to my colleagues, so I don't know whether some of them are asked in the way I was going to ask them. Maybe just to chip in on the issue as or something, just to touch on the issue of this modified salary issue. I was also very worried because I don't want to say if there is any budget, any additional budget set aside to pay any modified salaries, as Honourable Sokres also indicated that you are concerned about the benefit of the people. So also my second question also was the one asked by the Honourable Nisi about the audit premium. I'm worried because they are saying they are maintaining, the name maintains, it seems like you are just comfortable in that position of
of the unqualified audit opinion. Why don't we have any strategy really to look for a clean audit? You have to understand that very important clean audit was. But to say in your target that your target is to maintain, that is the name maintain is worrying me, because that means that you don't want to go you don't want to go up there on the clean audit if you are saying want to maintain this, as much as if those unqualified audit opinions have any evidence or not. But to stick to it, I don't think you must try to boost your, maybe is there any reason why you are thinking about the maintenance more than the moving up to the clean audit? And I think lastly, because I heard you sort of talking about expecting any progress in 2016-17, meaning that you still say you are maintaining that same status. My question, most of them have been asked, but maybe the one who has been asked is this one. Is there any vested interest in CBW not going fully paperless on your cousins, since it makes maintenance income from printing? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mekenye and KK.
Thank you very much. I'm partly covered by the by my colleague, and yeah, let me join the chorus by welcoming this presentation by Memorial Mwiyoricha. Mine is two questions. I wanted to check that in the process, how many consultant companies are you using and why? And number two, I'm concerned about the legal matters. I wanted to know about the litigations that you have as part of the governance. And the number three, the one maybe you were supposed to clarify us about, is the issue of the matters that were raised last year by the Auditor General. What are those matters?
Mm-hmm.
And then how did you resolve them? And also the outstanding ones, so that we'll be able to understand each other. Our footing, it will be one. I thank you very much.
Now, thanks, especially on the issues raised by the AG. I think the most much appropriate question is how are you going to resolve them, because we're talking about a plan, and then over this financial year. Honorable Nkomo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Firstly, Chair, I would it would be improper of me to start speaking without even saluting the Minister.
Brand new
It would be incorrect. I would be in trouble even in my party. So Mama Nyabonga could to actually meet with you. And the acting CEO, thank you very much for your input. Chairperson, thanks. And to our honorable members. I've got just a few issues which I would like to bring up. The first issue is that I seem to remember very clearly the inputs that we had, which were addressing the state-owned company of the GPW, I know about that. So definitely it is something which we have been looking forward to. There are just one or two issues which I would like to be addressed. Firstly, I think it's Member KK who actually addressed the matter on the emphasis of matter pertaining to the audit outcome. I think you said you had an unqualified audit where there were audit a few. You know, a few can be so much when it comes to audit matters, because it can be two issues which can be so critical in a way that they can actually make your fingers and your toes to crawl. So we would like to be informed about that. It might be 1, 2, 3, or 5, but we need more information on the audit especially the emphasis of matter, as well as maybe at some other time, just a bit of some information, especially from your risk committee, because you are starting out and you are venturing out into a state-owned company. So we would like to know what are the risks, the much more serious risks that are envisaged or which one is looking towards. The next matter is the benchmarking. You know, it gives one such a lot of pleasure. It makes one to be quite happy, as I am right now, when I get to hear of a state-owned company in our country, in South Africa, that will be looking at giving its services to other countries like Lesotho and all the other places. But I ask myself, what type of benchmarking have we actually done and in which countries? Because it's a mammoth task. So we need to ensure that we keep one step ahead all the time. So it's important that our benchmarking is up to date. So when one is talking about benchmarking, one immediately brings in to the fold the expertise that will be needed. And if we do not have the correct expertise, then definitely we will fall flat out. Now this brings me to the question of the unemployment, which some of my colleagues have spoken about. How are we going to ensure that we capacitate our people who are within the system so that they actually meet up to the target, so that they are updated, so that they are world class, instead of shedding them out, you know, as unemployed people? I think I had an issue which was said when it was when I listened to the input from the CEO. The CEO actually said, you know, at times one might have a degree in engineering and that degree might not be relevant, so we may not even be able to pay for it. You know, so it was something that sounded more like that. I still think that we will need so much of expertise. We will need so much of scientists. We will need so much of highly qualified people, so that this system really does work and that we benchmark with other countries, so that we bring business to South Africa and then we can start working on issues which some of my members have spoken about, even the paperless, which Umem Kanye spoke about, you know, all such type of matters which are quite important to me. And lastly, Chairperson, I tend to agree, although from the other percentage, with our Honourable Member Hossein, who said he has got a problem with the 1%. Whenever one talks of, you know, 99% and then the 1%, I have a problem with the 99. He has a problem with the 1. I have a problem with the 99. I have a problem with the 99 in the sense that you see somebody has 1% and I've got 99. The matter here is that whenever somebody states that they will be using 99%, I always ask myself, will they genuinely reach the 99? How will they reach the 99? And then it borders around the question which was asked by the Chairperson, you know, that SMART component, you know, being specific, the qualitative issues, the quantitative issues, and everything else. Because, you know, these reports are so important, the input that we got. We get the input this year, and then we keep it for next year so that we can check on the very 99 and the 1%. So we are interested in everything which we are being given. And lastly, Chairperson, on a lighter note, I think I better smile a bit. I'm missing out on men, which is quite good.
Yeah.
From yourself, Madam Minister, and the women on this side. So please, guys, I'm really missing you. more on, in here. Thank you very much.
That's why I'm saying is I've enjoyed that. It's quite a good number of contradictions today. Okay, so Fikland wanted Gumede. I'll come to you. I've totally forgotten about you, Gumede. Fikland, proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think you missed my voice. Nevertheless, Chairperson, my only concern now, when I look at this presentation, if we stop doing IDs, or maybe the IDs are no more that much, you make about 500 a month or less, with the machinery, what's going to happen? And also the machine that you've got that is doing its own packaging. Will you lay down labors for people that are working there? Because in your presentation, you say to contribute into job creation. Now, how are you going to create job if you're going to cut stuff? That's the question that concerns me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I have been conscientized that Dr. Melder is here. Wherever he is, if he has got an issue. So that means you've got seriously highly reliable MPs. That didn't matter. Then I can come back to you now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for greeting our meeting. And firstly, Chairperson, I think that given the situation, we've got to remove you now and get a woman to sit there. So we think it's a movie. Things are shaping up.
I'm fighting.
You have a company with a woman.
I'm missing men. Chairperson, they can't get
water. Water.
And then secondly, it must be very difficult to fill in the shoes of Professor Bebo. I think he has done quite a good job. But I'm sure that there are people that can do even a better job. But I think everything that we do now is going to depend on our government. And then, Mama, the IFP Secretary General, Mama Oko, said, and asked about the risk. I think everything rests on your risk architecture. Why I say that is, for instance, if you have a problem with your reputation, if you have a problem with your security, if you have a problem with your quality, then forget about other African countries or other markets, because you are a security printer. So these are interlinked. It is reputation, it is security, it is quality. Now, to improve on quality, you've got to get an objective system. And normally the Auditor General and our systems have put a system of internal audit and the audit committee within the control mechanisms. Are you having that? And then is it adequately capacitated? That is the question. That is within the organization. And then Honorable Gomo also ask the question of benchmarking. But I'll put it the other way, of quality control. Normally when a company wants to be perceived as having quality, it goes to SAPS standards, it goes to ISO standards, ISO 9000. Are we perhaps registered with those two institutions, the SAPS and ISO, to vet our quality, because we cannot bluff ourselves. When it comes to security documents, countries want quality. You may have price, you may be the cheapest, but people may ignore you because you are not having security, you are not having quality, you are not having reputation. So these things, they may be in the risk architecture, but now the risk architecture almost mirrors the marketing program as well, because if you are marketing this way your product, you've got to talk about quality and security, because your security is linked to quality. So once you start talking about a price first, and then people start saying, but now the quality, it looks like it is second class or third class, because you want your IDs not to be reproducible. You want your passports not to be reproducible. If now you pay, even if you pay half, but your passports are useless, then it's as good as fruitless and as wasteful expenditure. You'd rather go for more expensive product. So I think the perception of the potential client should be the perceived quality, the perceived security of our product. Secondly, coming to the government department, the issue of security is going to be around vetting. Are people vetted right through or up to supervisor level? Because that level as well, in a computerized environment, the most important person is the supervisor who responds at the same time. So how far are we with vetting, and how can you assure me that your workers will not leak exam papers, they won't reproduce IDs and so forth? Because that is the other thing. And if you cannot go, you cannot assure customers or potential clients, then you'll be having a problem. The second issue about the issue of income generation. That was asked by Honorable Hussein. Right now we are producing IDs, and then that market is going to wait, and then immediately after that, how are you going to sustain your market and improve it? Because you still have to pay for the machinery, even when people do no longer want IDs as frequently as they do. They do not want passports as frequently as they do. The machinery has still got to be maintained, and it's expensive to explain the computer environment. What plans are you there? Are you having when your current program becomes obsolete? The next stage. It may be 3 years. It may be 4 years. I do not know how far Home Affairs is now. And I just wanted to emphasize the issue of governance, because it is also in line with our national development program, which emphasizes a capable state, and you are a capable state institution. And lastly, are you planning to be 3A or 3C? 3A is a government enterprise, and 3C is a public entity. And then B, I think I've forgotten the B. What are the plans, and what are the benefits, and what are the costs? Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have a field of questions to this small company of ours. Oh, it's still a component. Honorable Minister, I think you'll have an opportunity somewhere around 5 to 12, just before you disappear.
Or even now, before 12.
Now, I thought you were going to benefit from their responses. You know, if you are able to do so, you can have an opportunity. Proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As you have said, when we speak in and listen to questions, it helps a lot.
Mm.
Because in my own mind, it builds up the argument which came from the committee. Sometimes if we get to report, it will just say the matter was presented before the portfolio committee, and ministers don't have an advantage of a real issue in detail. So thank you very much. I've noted the issues that were raised by members. Chairperson, I wanted just to talk a little bit to this notion of SOE. I'm sure honorable members are familiar with the document that talks to the rationalization of SOE. And then the big question is, is Cabinet going to continue to produce more SOEs when already the mandate is to reduce, to rationalize? But in my view, I'm not aware of any SOE which has a similar mandate like this one.
Mm.
It's a stand-alone SOE, so I think it is a good chance to be established. And of course, honorable members have spoken to quite a number of issues like that. But what I know, Treasury has been clear that we cannot continue to have SOEs that depend on government allocation. So as part of the foundation and the commitments they make, it has to be clear that the model of how they will sustain and they will grow themselves and they will grow will be critical. There's this issue of how to manage with automation, this digital revolution we are in. Clearly, we are all looking at reskilling our employers. Even in the department, there was a college of some kind which was amalgamated under HR. We are meeting with them, talking to them, because it's critical. We cannot allow technology to displace our people with a commitment in this sector. So we are reviving that entity and making sure that we continue to assist our own best and the future ones that we will attract to continue growing depending on opportunities that are there. The third point I wanted to talk to Chair is that, you know Home Affairs is in a unique position because we might say they're the target of so many, of producing so many smart cars. But remember, in Africa, the birth rate is very high in South Africa and the continent as a whole. So unlike other regions like Europe, you hear people talking of an aging population, which means we are likely to have work printing on an ongoing basis. Our numbers are growing every day. The youth population is huge. Young people are born almost on a daily basis in big numbers. So that is going to keep us going. For me, Chairperson, the issue of a SOE, I think it's critical in this one because in my understanding, there are other departments or provinces who still produce their certificates privately. I mean, so from a security point of view, you don't know what controls are there. If, for instance, you have to produce exam papers and certificates through a private company. So if we raise their issue beyond the department to an SOE, I think there should be control of comparing all government material of a certain category to go through the government printing works.
And in that way, it will help government overall from a security point of our documents to have standards that are monitored under one entity very, very closely. And so, but thank you very much. I really noted all the issues that are raised, and we will certainly address them through a CAB memo, and the final product will be informed by the discussion. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Minister. And as and when is the time to go, I think honorable members should not be seriously worried, because you have made your contribution.
Yeah.
And I think you have... Now, from my side, you know, it's, I expected members also to cover the questions I had, and out of the 25 questions I had, it looks like I'm left with three. And that means this is a good performance. Now, it's my issue is the trainees that you are having, artisans, and then on your contract with them, how are you ensuring that you're going to hold on them? And then also, of course, you're talking about the strategic management. It looks like it is occupying high in your mind, because you want to venture into Africa. But it doesn't look like it is the same attitude with your risk management. It doesn't look like it is risk management is enjoying the same. Honorable members have raised it in one way or another, but I'm just coming straight to it. You don't even have a component of risk management. It looks like you have got some risk committee somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but you have not elevated it as a competing need to your strategic management. And then I thought that strategic management should have helped you about the procurement of the big machines you were speaking about, but it looks like they have not assisted you. You said you have shifted the procurement of that to 2019-20 because you're waiting for the building to be built and to be completed. The question is, how long does it take to buy that machinery and the delivery of it? Because surely if they've assisted you correctly, you may need to buy it now. And if the delivery of that machinery is going to take 2 years, you may need to buy it this year. And then it gets delivered after in 2019 or after 2019. If you're going to buy it in 2019, then it may be delivered in 2023. Depending on the lead time that you require to get that kind of machine, because surely I can guess it is not off-shelf. It's not off-shelf. When you order it, then it will have to be made for you. You see? So I think those are the things that you just need to check. And then if what I'm trying to say is the case, then you may need to move the procurement of it a little bit earlier. And economists will tell you that machine is cheaper today than in 2019. They'll tell you that. And who is actually doing protection services at CPW now? Who's guarding your premises? Then what are the risk levels? And then the issue of an internal audit. I haven't heard you saying anything about it. You only talked about the private audit committee. But the internal audit that is supposed to continuously assist you with the internal controls and testing them, whether they work or they don't work, fixing them. So that when the Auditor General and the External Audit Committee comes, then they must find the machinery that is working on your paperwork and the processing of accounts. I think we have made life a lot more difficult for you. Then if you think you are ready, then you can you can continue. Dade DDG, probably at the end you'll also have to say something. Yeah, we'll proceed, Memo.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Thank you, Minister. I'm going to request the team to respond to questions relating to their work, and I'll come afterwards and summarize. So we're going to start with production-related matters that will answer questions raised about the current machine, the construction of buildings, the procurement of those specialized security printing machines, the automation issues versus job creation or less or reduction, if any, or the Gazette questions that were raised. Joe will speak to that. Then after him, we'll have the CFO speaking to all issues relating to clean audit, irregular expenditure, and the last financial year issues around revenue and sustainability of GPW. Then we will deal with HR-related issues that speak to skill, to recruitment, to whether we have sufficient capacity now to deliver what we are meant to deliver. Then we'll end with strategy management, and the GM will also speak to some of the things I might not have verbally articulated, but they're in the presentation, especially issues of risk management. So I'll hand over to Joe Engelbrand to speak on production-related matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I've made some notes on the questions, so I'm not sure if I'm going to answer them in the sequence, but at least I will answer them all. The first issue is the matter of Skynet. The present services rendered by the government printing works in terms of the identity, the ID smart card and the passports, is that when the data for a document is received from the Department of Home Affairs, the document is produced at the government printing works, and then there is DHA staff working in our factory. We do the handover to Home Affairs, and from Home Affairs it is then dispatched via Skynet. So the contract with the courier is between Home Affairs and Skynet, and I think they simply use the transversal contract.
Mm-hmm.
However, I must just indicate that Home Affairs approached the government printing works to take that service over at some stage. And this is part of the development which we are doing in the so-called Pavilion 3, where towards the end of this year we will be in a position where we're not going to hand the documents to Home Affairs, we will directly do the dispatch. Now, in terms of staff, it does not affect the government printing works because we did not have that service previously. It's our plan to mechanize this. So we will have a couple of positions which we create which we did not have previously, but it will not be a manual operation as is currently being done by Home Affairs.
What is that?
Sorry? Yeah.
He's coming.
Then there was a question about the ID book equipment for printing. There's actually very little that the government printing work does in relation to the ID book. The ID book is printed by CETA. So what happens is printed personal sheets, already printed sheets, is given to the government printing works, and then we bind it into a booklet. Now, in terms of binding, we have several binding sections. We have a book binding section, a form binding section, and so on. And then these IDs are produced in a security binding section. It's the same staff, it's the same operations, it's just a different section where it's more secure. So gradually, as we saw the volumes of IDs reducing, we started transferring the staff just to other divisions doing similar work in the same building, just in a different section. The only equipment which is involved, which is unique for ID books, is a
die-cutting machine, and that is the machine which is used in the final process when the booklet is pasted together, where you actually cut it out with the round corners, and so that is a specialized machine which will not be able to use for anything else. It is a very old machine, it's already more than 25 years old. So in terms of its book value, it's zero, and we will just simply write it off. There was a question on the reduction of the printed cassette, and if there is a vested interest for GPW not to go totally paperless. The government cassette is one of those services which we produce, but from a business point of view, we don't make money out of it. And the reason why I'm saying that is there's two components of advertisements published in the cassette. The one covers advertisements placed by the general public, such as, for example, if a person wants to change his name, legal estates, sales and executions, and so on. Now, because it is by law compulsory that the public must publish in the government gazette, the rates at which those services are provided is very low. It's highly subsidized, and those rates are actually established by national pressure. And the objective of those rates is to make the gazette accessible to the poorest person. If a person wishes to change his name, it should cost him not an arm and a leg to be able to do so. So, it is to the benefit of the government printing works in terms of the government gazette. If we print as little as possible, if possible, nothing at all. If I can just give an illustration, the printed version of the gazette, there's a subscription service where people or companies could subscribe to the printed gazette. Now, in the last financial year, if I round it up, if you bought one copy of each gazette, you would have procured 160,000 sheets of A4 paper. Now, if we print those, and we send it to only 2,000 subscribers, then it implies that we actually print 320 million A4 pieces of paper, which we have to compile into packs. We then have to mail those, we have to pay the postage. And in the majority of cases, we've done a survey amongst the subscribers, asking them what percentage of that text are they actually using. Now, if you have an auditor's firm dealing, for example, with a sales and execution or a later state, such a subscriber will receive all the presents printed in a particular week, but will actually need only two or three sheets from them. It's a total waste. We print millions and millions of sheets of paper. We spend billions to distribute this to the end user, and when it gets there, it simply goes into the bin. So it's simply not efficient. We simply waste too much paper. What we currently do is the gazette is published online. Therefore, the end user can only print those sheets or those pieces of the text which is required. Unfortunately, we would like to go completely paperless, but we will never get there. There will always be those users who do not have access to the electronic version. There is one example that I can quickly think of. There's a certain time of the year when the PSI publish bursaries, you typically then find that young people do not necessarily have access to it, but they would want the printed copy. And we will always provide a printed copy as and when it is required. There's a question about the Western Cape Gazette, why that is not published on e-Gazette. Commencing from 1994, we were approached by some of the provincial governments. Let me just clarify, there's the Government Gazette, which is a national gazette, and then there are provincial gazettes, which are linked to each province. Then, after 1994, we were approached by some of these provinces. Like the Northern Cape, the Eastern Cape, and so forth. We were never approached by the Western Cape, so we don't publish the EKZ or the Western Cape Provincial Police. Since we don't publish it, we don't have that access to the text, and therefore we cannot put it onto the EKZ system. There is a question whether it will become searchable. Certainly it will. There are, if I could just illustrate, if for example a client would publish a sales and execution, we would receive that text in a digital format. If we publish it, it will be searchable text. But then there's other types of advertisements which we receive, such as for example the road transport permits. These are documents which are being published by the Department of Transport, and it has to do with people receiving licenses to operate taxis. That we receive in a printed format, and we simply photograph it, so it's not digital text. But gradually, as time goes by, we find that institutions placing advertisements provided in a digital format. So I foresee that there will be a day when all the text that we publish will be digital, and therefore it will be a searchable format. There was a question about the quality control. Yes, certainly we have embarked on the ISO 9001 quality assurance standard. So it's our intention. First of all, what we've done was when we created the new passport factory at Versailles Street, we made sure that that is certainly ISO compliant. And as we develop Pavilion 2 and we develop the other new facilities, we will follow the same process. For us, it is important that if we want to venture into Africa, one of the questions which will be asked, are you compliant? We place a very high premium on quality. I'm happy to say that to date we've made close to 8 million IDs, new IDs one. And we have not touched with, we have not made one where the wrong name is with the wrong photo.
Yeah.
The members of the people
No, they were having a caucus, but one has disappeared. So that problem should have been resolved. Proceed.
Just lastly, there's a question that what happens if we look at the current volumes of ID cards, if that market becomes saturated. There are certainly new products. As was indicated by the CEO, we've been approached now by the South African Police Service. We've been developing a new firearm license scheme for them. Certainly there are more other customers, potential customers. And then there's new products which we have not touched on before. The current ID card is produced for I'm giving one example. The current ID card is produced or manufactured from a base material which is called polycarbonate. There is no manufacture of polycarbonate cards in South Africa. It's fully imported. It's made in Finland. It is a complex material. It does not mean that it cannot be built in South Africa. We just have to learn how to do that. And certainly those are markets which we wish to enter. The reason why we have not done it from the beginning was to establish working on business principles. If we have established a factory, a plant, a production line that produces polycarbonate parts, there must be a market for us to put it into. And as these products grow, we get in the gun license. The first phase for the SAPS will be to produce the current format. And then the next phase is to develop a new format gun license, which is highly secure in a similar format as is the case with the ID card. So as the use of that product increases, we get to a cut-off point where it is feasible and reasonable for us to establish a plant that produces polycarbonate. There is another venture which comes to mind, and that is the matter of highly specialized security paper. It's not available in South Africa. When the current contract for the passport paper runs out in 2 years' time, it will not be locally produced anymore. It will have to be imported.
Right.
And there is certainly there is certainly a business gap there which can be filled by the government to produce its own security paper. Thank you, Chair.
I just want to speak on the audit report matter. In the previous year, the AG raised questions of ethical matters because of the procurement. So we did not comply with the Treasury's prescriptions about the what we then did in order to ensure that we do not have the finding again, we have updated our processes and aligned our policies to all the directives that Treasury has issued. We have done training of SEM on the various prescripts. And then in February, March of this year, we asked internal auditors to do an audit for us on whether the processes that we have implemented have yielded results. And the report was that we have now fully complied. So the findings that were issued by aging in the previous year, we did not expect them in the current year. So that is how we addressed the on the financial sustainability, the GM for production also covered in terms of various revenue sources that we are looking at in order to sustain. For the 17-18 year, the IDs contribute about 25% to our total revenue. So the main contributor obviously is passports because it's more expensive to spend that. So we are looking at, in order to support the business case, a 15 to 20 year financial sustainability projection so that we can maybe properly respond to the portfolio crisis of post 2021 where will our rent for the business come.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, members, and Chair, for giving me the opportunity to respond to the questions that have been raised. These are the questions that are mainly related to HR. Quite a few questions came through, but when I listen to them, they speak to one another, and I can maybe summarize them to you. Am I not audible? The questions that have been raised, when I summarize them, they mainly link to two aspects. One of the issues that have been raised is mainly about the issue of job security in terms of conversion to SOE, to say when we convert, are we going to have a negative impact in terms of job security, and also our process and project of automation, how are they going to impact the job creation, and if there's any possibility of really having to lose their job. What I can say is that we're not anticipating any job losses in that area. Instead, what we are focusing our attention on is upskilling the current workforce, and also to ensure that with our new intake, as we recruit, we have the future developmental needs in mind, especially that is linked to our new machinery and equipment that I'm intending to acquire. To say, are the employees that we are now recruiting, will they be trainable, and would we be able to upskill them in line with the improvement as and when we get? And that gives a security to say we're not going to shed any jobs or terminate any employee by virtue of them not having the skills that are required by new machinery and so forth. The Minister did emphasize the issue of empathy, or the issue of our partnership with Printing SA in terms of improving the skills. So we are now looking with the internal workforce that we currently have to say, how do we improve their current skills so that they can be responsive and be able to also function with our improved machinery and equipment. And in terms of issues of salaries during the conversion, we're going to embark on a process of salary benchmarks that will be looking into our current salary structures and benefits, all compensation and benefits in relation to the compensation and benefits of the printing industry. What is it about the printing industry that makes us not be able to attract the talent that we want and be able to retain it. And once we've done the analysis of the outcome of the salary benchmark, we will be able to give a specific response in terms of rent and sense of how different are we going to be to our current state and our future inverted state in, when we convert to SOE. The other question was the issue of 105 positions that we are intending to fill in the next submission year. We are confident, yes, that we should be able to fill those positions, and we have started with some of those positions already. They are already in circulation in the media. So the number is basically linked to the positions that are critical to our current operational needs. So responding to that, hence we came up with a number of 105, and included in that 105 is a seven SMS critical positions that we are also going to fill in this financial year.
Chair, I meant to ask what is SMS critical position.
Oh, SMS. I think I've covered all the questions. I've summarized as much as they came into the field. I've summarized them into three.
If you think that you have summarized all of them, it may not be quite correct. Continue to you.
Chair, I was saying that she only handled HR. With your permission, if we can allow GM strategy to do it, and I summarize to make sure all the areas are covered. If with your permission, if she could.
Yes, but she must just know that on the HR,
yes,
she has not dealt with all of them.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members. I'm going to address some of the questions on the strategic side. Chairperson, just to start with the question that you had raised on whether the AG looks at the targets to ensure that they are met, we can confirm that we do consult and present our plan, both the Strathclyde as well as the ATC, to the AG as well as the risk committee members, and they do provide us the input that we use and consolidate into our final plans that are then approved by the minister. Further to the plan that we have circulated to the members prior, we also have the branch business plan. Each GM sitting here has a business plan with quarterly targets that begin to consciously indicate how we will migrate towards the achievement of the targets, which are due to be annual on our SPT. So that enables monthly quarterly assessment, M&E, and review when necessary. So that is in place. On whether we have several platforms, there was a concern raised that we demonstrate only one platform available. I need to indicate that we do have multiple platforms where we do medical services, products and services. We do exhibitions. Right? I'd like to invite honorable members to the Home Affairs Center during the budget vote, which is coming in the next week. We will be displaying some of our products and services that one platform we use. Beyond that, we have when Home Affairs do hold international ministers, we go and also market our products and services to them in a way, in a form of customer demonstration. They do come as well when we invite them to the factory so that they can do a tour and view our products and services in action that they found very appealing. We also have one-on-one platforms where we engage customers that we think could be potential customers that we can have in our midst so that they can then also utilize our products and services. So we do have those multiple platforms that we utilize. What are we meant by eating more than we're chewing? There was a question raised that with the capacity that we have, how do we need to manage? Because the revenue as well as the profit seems to be huge. What we have done, we have mapped an end-to-end process that begins to say,
how does the back office work with the front office? So as we ready ourselves to go out and market our products and services particularly out there, we make sure that the marketing strategy is dovetailed with the back office management so that we don't go out and get more than what we can take. We agree with the question of reputation and quality that has been mentioned before, that when you go out and do a value proposition, you must be able to deliver quality. So we make sure that we strike a balance in the media so that we don't begin to dream big and yet we're not ready. So that readiness is ensured from time to time. We do have an audit plan that we have put in place, the one question raised from the audit matters, that we will make sure that we will resolve all the matters, the audit matters of access that has been raised to the CFO that has indicated. And on the risk management in particular, we have a risk management framework and a 3-year risk management plan that we review on an annual basis. Internally, we do have a risk management unit that involves under strategy management. However, as the CEO mentioned earlier in the presentation, we are indeed capacitating that unit because it had a few incumbents, actually it was one person with two interns, and now we are appointing a director as well as ANCs to support and build up capacity in the unit to make sure that risk management is also top of the agenda like any other process. So by the end of the financial year, that unit shall have been properly capacitated. However, it hasn't deterred us from doing the work. We do have the risk framework and the registers that we're monitoring on a monthly basis as we present to the risk committee. In terms of security rating, yes, I can confirm that more than half of our staff, especially supervisors, have been vetted. With the kind of business that we render, we leave no chances in terms of our capacity. The people who are managing our operations, who are handling our finances, and all the other supervisors have been. So we will continue to cover the rest of the staff that are operating in our factory as well as in our support environment. Yeah, I just want to indicate those chapters and thank you very much. Security, yes, I've mentioned that the security has been working and we have introduced. Oh, okay. In terms of regarding our premises, we have actually done a security assessment in our factory and we realized that there were some gaps. And with the capacity that we have internally, we couldn't really sufficiently guard our premises. So we have procured services of Fidelity Security Services Company that is already on board and is guarding our premises. And there are sophisticated security equipment that we have in place, like your biometric as well as your facial recognition scanners as you move, and we've enhanced our searching protocols as well. When people enter and then exit our premises, we have enhanced our security just to make sure that we secure the identity of our participants as well as the documents that we produce within our victory. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, continue, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Just to respond to some of the questions that were raised, the DCW has got the capacity to continue performing well as it has performed during the era of Professor Mbeu. Members, I can confirm that the institution on its own has got systems and infrastructure to run and is not dependent on individuals. At this point in time, the production line is established in such a way that whether myself or Joe are there, the printing of IDs happen. Joe has got two chief directors who are responsible. One is responsible for operations, which is the receiving of requests, the planning, the putting it in the system, making sure it's the right quality. And we also have a chief director responsible for production. And both those have been under his close training to make sure that even when he retires, there's capacity to run. So I can confirm that with the current capacity that we have, not only the five of us, but those that support us, they've got the skill, they've got the expertise to be able to continue providing the services that government expects of GPW. The question that was raised around the what the conversion will mean, one, there will be change of legal status under the Companies Act. Secondly, access to markets, not only in government, but also in the private sector, and it might even assist us to be able to enter into those partnerships when we do, or should, if we are approved to go through the plant of the polycarbon and the security paper. If we get one or two or even three of the countries in the region or in the continent that we do their passports, we'll still have to look at making sure we provide security data for them. So our marketing and our selling of GPW and the success, therefore, should be able to answer some of the questions that have been raised regarding sustainability and our reputation. The SOC will also assist us to position ourselves as a security printer of choice in the continent. And further, we are or have done the AU passport, which is currently used by heads of state as well as the ministers of international relations. And leveraging from that particular experience as a baseline should be able to assist us. We have started having engagement with DICO so that we are part of their program. Whatever they do in the continent in terms of their bilateral and multilateral, that GPW becomes one of the solutions that South Africa presents with counterparts in terms of assisting the reconstruction of some of these countries. It will definitely allow us to deal with the issue of salary disparities, because once we are SOC, we will have to have our own remuneration framework that is based in the printing industry. The OSD, DPSA is not willing to open up the OSD, particularly because remember OSD is in different fields. Now, in terms of OSD for printing industry, you can't compare us with anyone else except the private sector, because no other department does printing. So definitely we'll have a new remuneration. There was a question around the risk, whether we have looked at the risk related to this SOC. There are two possible, one wouldn't put it as complete risk, but issues that we have to pay attention to and strictly, tightly manage. One is the management of transition with regard to conditions of service of staff. We are currently public servants, and we need to have a phased-up approach in terms of their benefits with medical aid, with pension funds. Those that are current on the government pension fund is how do we find a process, and that's why we have a joint DPSA-GPW team now that's already meeting to consider what process do we need to follow. Because there are two phases. One is signed off legally, the status change, but what does it mean for employees? So we are, with the assistance of DPSA, working on that process on whether you can have options for staff that says current staff members who are in the public service and want to be able to benefit from the government pension fund, how do we phase it out until their retirement so that they don't lose out? And those that would want to transit to private or their pension fund of their own, what are the benefits, what are the pros and cons, so that we are able to present to them and say, this is the choices you have as an individual, which one do you want to take? We're a small company, so just less than 700 at the end with full complement, we should be able to attend to the needs of all that. So that's something that we have brought on board DPSA, so that when it happens in a year or two, we are ready for it. The second one is the issue that was raised about the key clientele, whether what will happen if the numbers go down. I think that question Minister responded to it, but we are really hoping that the clientele, not only hoping, we are doing something in terms of marketing, and GM has spoken to it, that we keep the clientele, but we increase it so that it can contribute to issues of sustainability. Members, I should indicate that the SOC conversion does not take GPW out of Home Affairs. We are saying Home Affairs to remind the sole authority and the sole owner of the entity. So instead of it being moved to other departments or linked or being standalone, it will still account to the executive authority of Home Affairs. even though it will do diversified products. Largely, we still see Home Affairs as our... So those are some of the what it will mean when we convert. The issue around governance, Chair, we do have... At an external level, I've mentioned the two committees, as well as what we had as a ministerial advisory council that we meet quarterly, where we report what work have we done. They then come up with their own suggestions of where we can improve. It's purely expert-driven, so they don't get involved in the administrative part, what your board kind of will do. But they assist us. We have one from production, who is from the South African Banknote, who assist us in terms of production, latest equipment, security equipment, because they are in that industry of security printing as they print money. We have somebody from UNISA ICT, they do also printing, so they give us that expert advice. We've got somebody from risk and governance, and we also have somebody dealing with issues of finance. We have somebody also from Department of Public Enterprise who assists us in terms of how SOC operate, where are the downfall, where we should guard against. So we have that team as well as an additional support. But at a management level, internal audit has got just over 9 people that are full-time. It reports directly to me. It's a fully-fledged unit that does an audit plan for the year, which includes issues that would have picked up from the audit auditor general. And risk is a unit, as the GM reports under her, that is being managed. Security is also under GM strategy. The most important function that they play, which was never played, is issues around strategic planning, monitoring, evaluation, and reporting. With the last 3 years, it was done by the CFO as an individual. Now we've brought in the GM and the team to be able to sit with every unit that is your target smart as chairs, as is your target contributing to what you want to achieve. What do you really mean in this? And they also do issues of portfolio of evidence in making sure that people, the different units do what they say they'll do. Issues of performance agreements. My coming in to act from after the end of the financial year, you remember I came here when I was a month old, was not everybody had a performance agreement. Not everybody did financial disclosure. Those who were supposed to do vetting were not doing it. Review of how we function. There's a question about how many consultants do we have. Coming in, we found a lot of them doing functions that are administrative in nature. Where what we have done was to say, you now have 6 months, this contract is going to end, let's advertise. That's why the high number of filling of vacancies of those posts. But the areas that we would still, in one or the other, still make use of this consultant is in terms of the ICT infrastructure. Any company does need that additional technical support on the IT people, it's particularly the software the systems and the licenses. That's why in auditing, implementation of elements of audit plan, particularly ICT audit, is a skill that you wouldn't keep permanently in the organization, but you would bring in experts to audit your whole entire IT chain as per the requirements of the AG and National Treasury. We also have support in terms of the legal. One of the anomalies which I reported in the last time I was here is that I found that GPW had contracted a firm to do all legal work, and there was no one legal person in the entire organization. So everything, even if legal admin, which you would do internally, was contracted. We are reversing that. What we are saying is that any company needs legal capacity to go to court, advocate, but when it comes to legal admin, it has to be internal capacity, and we have advertised for those posts to fill in that. In terms of litigation, we don't have any that we are dealing with. If there are any legal issues linked to SLA, contract management, as well as some labor relation matters of issues were under discipline, but no litigation at all. Chair, in terms of marketing, there was a question, why do we only have one platform marketing. Our target is 3, and this 3 is within the content of what we shared of our opportunities that are there. We think it will increase with the ring fencing of security printing, state security printing. If we refence certain elements that would be approved as security printing, definitely that 3 will increase. Supply chain management issues have been raised. When we came here for the annual report, we did report that the regular expenditure was based, really there was an interpretation issue between the AG and GPW, but also the way things in terms of supply chain were, recalls were not asked before appointing service provider. We've closed up on all those, and that's why the CFO can confidently say we shouldn't have. But all issues with supply chain was about, did we do 3 calls? In this tender, did the BAC sign off this page or they didn't include documentation? But that shouldn't be a problem. In terms of accumulative plans, in HR chair, we take note of that. What we will do is, as we roll out this APP, we'll make sure we have our own quarterly targets, even if they are not on the finalized APP, to make sure that we attend to the issue you raised with us. The issue of staff complement that was raised by Honorable Member, it's true. For the big operation we run, the staff complement is quite small. Our approach was not to just balloon it, but to look at strategic things and bring it. Definitely with new products, we will need to increase our current capacity to make sure that there's opportunities for reskilling. There are some staff members who are on a very low level who have come and say, I want to be an artisan. We've got 22 of those who have registered for artisan. They are being reskilled now. Once they qualify, they will move out of those clerical functions into production and be part of the team with the new products that are coming in. Beyond 2020-2021, what will it do with the revenue that we get? At the moment, revenue that we make and profit will go into the recapitalization. Beyond recapitalization, really this money is what would be used to improve issues that were raised earlier on in terms of the technology, in terms of research and development. Yes, we will definitely have to look at making sure, because at the moment we don't have a research and development forensic lab that is state of the art. We do have a lab, but that's where we can reinvest this revenue beyond the asset recapitalization section. Yes, I think, Chair, if there's anything I've left up, my team will assist me. I know Tulani was going to speak about Skynet, but Joe did respond to it. And then, thank you.
No, it is fine. I think there is a question that was highlighted, that why are you aiming to sustain unqualified audit opinions when you're supposed to be aiming for a clean audit? And what you have explained now, that you have dealt with those matters relating to supply chain. You were supposed to be aiming for the clean audit, but that's not what your APP is saying. The Honorable Member says you are happy just to sustain. And then you have not spoken to that one. And then also there was a question relating to the budget. When you go to SOC, is your budget, because it's going to be based on market-related salaries, is it going to be double, or what is there that you expect? I think that was Honorable Hussein, and the Honorable Nisi as well, I think, spoke to that particular matter. And then there is also the benchmarking issue. Although I may not restate the question, but there was a from Honorable Nkom on benchmarking. Then there was counsel from Honorable Gumede that if he wanted to go to SOC and go up into Africa, the issues of reputation, quality, risk architecture, and then there is also the issues of governance, you have spoken to it. But he ended up with a question of whether you want to be a 3A or a 3C or whatever. And then you have spectacularly avoided to answer that one. And then I think that's it to some of the questions that you have missed. Then the one on human resources, I did ask the question, how are they going to ensure that the trainees that you are spending money on them now, under the current salary payment, you're going to hold on them? And then we did not speak to that. And then and then there was also a question on the decline. The decline, I think the previous year and then it was somewhere around 28-29% growth. And then this previous year and then you have indicated something around 12%. That the growth is actually going down. And Honorable Hussein also spoke to that one, that it looks like you are going down, but then you want to go out into the vultures of the market. If you remember some of them. But where you don't have a response, it is not crime. But I just want to insist on this specific tool. You gotta aim for the clean audit. Doesn't matter what your answer is. You gotta claim for the clean audit, and then the question of actually breaking your targets into smaller portions will assist you to manage that activity. If you leave it on annual, you run the risk of forgetting it at the end of the year, and then you have to come and explain to us, and we are going to be very arrogant to you. We can promise you that. Then proceed.
Thank you, Chair. We do agree with yourself that in terms of the clean audit, maybe it's how it was articulated. I know that when you came in after decision you made, you can't make an excuse. I wasn't there, so I do accept that at that point should have read clean audit. Our understanding is that the Editor General, when they issue their opinion, they would call it clean audit if it's unqualified with no matter. And it would be, and then you have what we received last year, which was unqualified with matters. So definitely in the current financial year, we know the Auditor General is currently in progress, but we're engaging with them in an ongoing basis. We are expecting the unqualified with no matters, which will mean clean audit. And in terms of the issue whether we budgeted for SOC, projection was based on the current revenue and projected revenue that we should have enough financial. So in terms of the plan, yes, we have made provision. I should indicate here that the big shift in terms of financial increase on the SOC and the remuneration framework of market related, it's around production. The other branches, the current salaries we are in terms of the public service, we have not had any challenges. So the focus is going to be in the 300 odd people who are specialized skill, OSD as such, so it won't be the entire budget. So that we should be able to cater for. Whether we've done international benchmarking, there are international companies that are an improved version of GPW, even though they are private sector, because there's no government fully owned. So we are looking at companies like Yodelaru and others who have been doing this thing. But that work continues as part of our research and development. The proposal, Honorable Commander, of the public entity from the KPMG business case that they've been working on, they are recommending 3B and not 3A or C. And 3B will allow us to still, under the ownership of government, we'll be able to do some of the things that I've mentioned when I spoke about benefits for SOC. We will still be able to borrow money, but with the approval of the Minister and the Minister of Finance, as well as the Minister of Trade and Industry. The issue of interns and contracts, both our interns, our graduates, and our current assistants, when we enroll them, they sign an agreement, an SLA, of what they commit themselves to do. We do know that some of them, even if they've signed SLAs, that you will train me for a period of 3 years and I will stay on with the company for another year or two. We do have those that find better jobs, and it becomes difficult to stop somebody's growth. But with the artisans that are coming, because of the amount of investment, we have given our legal team the current SLA to improve it and strengthen it before the 22 starts for the next 3 years. Issue of reputation, quality, we are definitely taking that wisdom. We will make sure that we, over and above what we thought we would do, we strengthen that area. Indeed, if GPW doesn't handle those areas mentioned by the member, we will be history, and we are cognizant of that clients want productivity, they want security, they want reliability, they want to make sure that what you give them is not questionable. So we will definitely put our efforts on that one. Chair, I hope I've covered all of them. Thank you.
Yeah, you've done your best under the circumstances. And, but now it's from my side, there is still one question that you need to actually talk to me. You have Fidelity guard a private company guarding a national key point, and then you are intending to vet almost all the officers within the yard, and then what is the status of that Fidelity guard?
Who is vetting?
Is it vetted? And then what level is the Fidelity Guard? It is a national key point. You may vet everybody inside, but if these guys that are guarding that, then they are not vetted, nobody knows the levels of security on them, then we may be having a problem. I'm sure in the public domain, we have come across this debate of national key point areas guarded by private security companies. What does that mean? Can you, on your way back home, think about that one? And then, but know that we have raised it officially with you. Gagan, and then Gumede. I thought we are finished. We're supposed to be going.
Not in Zanda, President. Of course, not 72,
but... Yeah, Chair, mine is one. I just to emphasize this issue of the Fidelity Guard. I think maybe you should put it here that their reasoning of giving them that work to us, it's not accepted. It's not acceptable. So please know exactly where you are working and what is needed, and do the best. It's what I wanted to say. When you raise it, I even show him that I wanted to raise this matter, and we must be very clear and frank to what we want. I thank you.
Thank you very much. No, Chairperson, on the issue of the classification, I just asked the acting CEO to revisit the PFMA and come with the correct answer, because Section 3B is provincial government business enterprises, and the GPW is not under the program. Perhaps you could confuse it with something else. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. They've received some further counsel, and then they should be able to come the other side a lot more better. I think under these circumstances, then we should still thank all of you from GPW. We hope that you'll be better, and then you must do whatever you need to do. I think you must also just know that the bill that is envisaged to be coming here somewhere around August may not have our attention this year, because August is a lot more late. And then let's hope that something will happen. And then let's thank the honorable members as well. Today we almost have a full house. And thank you very much. I think that is a lot more improvement for us to conclude the work that we have around here. And I received a note that still talks to the benchmarking issue. And I'm sure then, because we have not received an answer even after reminding yourself, then there may not be an extensive answer. Then the next time when we meet you, then you should be able to talk to it. Honorable Ngomo, I think it's Honorable Ngomo. Yes, and then still wanted to hear that you are on top of that thing, and then otherwise then we may be on top of a shaky foundation, and then she believes that that should be able to guide you how you move forward and how you do things. Honorable members, this brings us to the end of this meeting. Just before I say the meeting is adjourned, I had a promise that the DDG was going to speak on those. That's one of the issues that he was supposed to speak on. It has been said, but we can't close his mouth on behalf of the Department of Home Affairs. In short, you can hear that the members are crying.
No, I'll try to speak the members. Yeah. Just maybe one issue to deal with, the fact that the declining numbers after we completed the 38 million replacement of smart cards. You'll recall that we have about 1 million beds annually. So normally we have in the region of about 600,000 new cards that are issued to those who turn 16. So that's just one issue. On the issue of the machine for the Green ID book, obviously once we stop issuing the Green ID book, we will retire all those machines. I think we'll put them somewhere in the museum so that he'll take another
photo. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much. Okay, next.